some things in flux even as we speak. Today, we will take up 601 and 401. On 795, we have a set of amendments that are ready to go relating to the land use portion of the bill. The rest will be set over until, what day is it, Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay, when we will finish our work on the bill, we'll deal only with the, Thursday at 3 o'clock, we'll deal only with the land use amendments, move those in today, and then we'll finish 795 on Thursday. Let's begin with a work session on Senate Bill 601. Council.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 601, when it came to you from the Senate, would specify that a decedent's pet of value of less than $2,500 would not be part of a decedent's estate. The chair pointed out that that might not necessarily be the best way to solve this issue, and I believe drafted the -A4 amendment that specify that a family member of the decedent or friend of the decedent or animal shelter may take custody of the animal, and that that family member, friend, or animal shelter that takes custody shall deliver the animal to a personal representative for the decedent or to any heir or devisee entitled to possession of the animal upon request of the personal representative, instead of just simply stating that, in fact, the pet is not part of the decedent's estate. And then the dash A5 amendments, Mr. Chair, I believe come to you, that was the dash A4 I just described. The dash A5 come to you from the Oregon State Bar, and frankly, I'm not too sure.
Do we have someone from the bar here to...
Why they did. My understanding is that this is the only relating to probate bill in the hopper this session, and...
I have seen the memorandum. I just got something in my, I think it was faxed to me this morning. Well, let's start with the A4 amendments. Mr. Presser, did you want to come on up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Alan Trussiter, representing the Oregon Humane Society. Committee counsel has accurately described the purpose of these amendments. You'll recall that when last we were before you, we needed some changes that the chair recommended. We obviously took that direction, and we believe these amendments now accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. The A5 amendments, as I understood, I was representing the State Bar, talked to me, wanted to know if I had any objections. They characterized them to me as a measure that Senate Bill 601 was the only bill before this body that had a relating cause relating to probate.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. And I certainly have no objections as long as they don't do anything to hinder the passage of Senate Bill 601.
Okay. Committee, on the dash four amendments, if you may recall. I'm sorry. Representative Werbelow.
Has there ever been any discussion, what if all these people named in the dash fours, all of them refused to take the dog? Nobody wanted it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Werbelow.
They said, no, I don't want it.
I can't envision, Mr. Chairman, Representative, I can't envision the situation in which the animal shelter would refuse. I mean, the shelter, I think, would take take the appropriate action in that instance. I guess I don't know the answer if everybody refused.
Okay. If you recall, one of the problems with the bill, I think, that originally came up when we heard this was you had in one sentence it said that an animal of this value is not a part of the estate, and then it went on to say that nevertheless you could dispose of it by will, and it seemed to be internally inconsistent. If it's not part of the estate, how do you dispose of it by will? And the dash four amendments provide a mechanism for a person to take custody and provide care for the animal and then have a claim against the estate the cost of caring for the animal, and then an obligation to surrender the animal to the personal representative or any heir or devisee whenever entitlement to possession is established. Representative Werbelow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have another question. It is not unheard of, in fact, as we read at times in the paper about someone who has left their entire estate to their dog or their cat for their maintenance. It seems to me that that would have to be valued in those cases. And I just wonder if there was any discussion about that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Werbelow, I think that's a separate issue.
But that's the air, in a sense. I mean, you have to, at least the animal has to be discussed in the probate, because that, in a sense, is an heir. And that has happened.
The animal's not the heir. The animal's the asset.
No, well, in this, but the animal has been left. It's an asset that's been left all the other assets for its care and maintenance until it dies. That's as I even saw one that told what kind of funeral they had to have. Mm-hmm. Very elaborate, but it seems to me it does have to be part
of the estate. And it is. This amendment takes care of that, because it was the original bill that said it was not part of the estate.
You think it takes care of this? I think it just tells you what to do with it.
Left to a trust.
The A4 amendments, I think that the presumption is that the animal is part of the estate, just along with every other property of the decedent, unless you have a law that says, as the original bill would have said, that it's not a part of the estate. So by being silent on it, I think the silence leaves the animal in the estate along with all the rest of the decedent's property.
Okay.
I think the problem was caused by that sentence in the original bill, or at least the engrossed bill that came to us, and said that the animal was not a part of the estate.
And the probate section has looked at this? The estate section of the bar?
I don't know if the estate section has. I do estate practice.
Well, I do too, but I haven't had one of those where the animal is the sole heir. I just wanted to make sure that we don't have any sole heir.
Mr. Chairman?
I think it's Representative Williams.
I was just going to ask a question about the A4s. I noticed that we're... Excuse me?
Go ahead.
We're raising the value of the animal from less than 1,000 to less than 2,500, and I didn't remember, because I think it's been so long, maybe...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Williams, the $2,500 was in the A and gross.
Oh, in the A and gross. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Representative Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was looking at my notes from last hearing, which at that time I forgot to write the date on here, but... I had a question about this bill, about a neighbor being able to take possession of the animal and keeping it, and I see that the parties have made that change as well, that it would have to be turned over to the personal representative, Ira Devizee. So I appreciate that you've made that change, so we don't have a fight over the animal.
Right. I think it did raise the specter of a first-come, first-served kind of race to get
the favorite pet.
Mm-hmm. But in this case, you're right, it does... In fact, I guess getting back to the fact that it clearly is part of the estate, that last sentence indicates that whoever takes custody shall deliver the animal to the personal representative, who obviously has control of the estate, or to any heir or devisee. So it is an asset that will be passed as part of the estate. Okay, any further discussion on the Dash A4 amendments? Okay.
I would like the... probate estate section. I'd like to hear that they don't have any problems.
Okay. Well, if it's all right, given this time that we have, let's go ahead and move it out today and give you time between now and the floor to talk about it with those folks. Representative Williams?
I've moved the Dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 601.
Representative Williams moves the Dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 601. Is there discussion on the motion? Any objection? Okay. So ordered. Counsel, you found something on the Dash A5.
It's all coming back to me,
okay.
Mr. Chair. At the elder law section from the State Bar, actually requested the Dash 5 because of a recent Court of Appeals case that suggested that the state of Oregon was exempt from the time limitations set out in the probate code. And what the A5 amendments specify, as you can see there in lines 6 through 10, is that all the statutes of limitations that are in the code apply to actions brought in the name of the state or any county or public corporation, and actions brought for their benefit as well. So the time limitations that private parties operate under will be applicable now to those entities as well.
Okay. So the statute of limitations being the time limit for the filing of claims against the state? I suppose filing no contests, those kinds of things would apply to the state as they do to any other creditor,
mm-hmm.
or
allowing for additional amount of claims and any statute that would apply in that regard.
It's funny, I probably assumed that that was the law all this time.
I think I probably had too, Mr. Chairman.
Like a 1998 case, that's leaving it to you to make that determination.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that then.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I'd move the dash A5 amendments to Senate Bill 601.
Representative Williams moves the dash A5 amendments to Senate Bill 601. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Representative Williams.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Senate Bill 601 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 601 as amended by this committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Oh, great bill.
Great bill.
Great bill. I worry about my poor little dog.
Pardon?
I worry about my poor little dog. Having
you don't need to.
She didn't have a dog. She had a little rat thing.
Okay, please call the roll.
I don't think she heard you.
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Aye, subject to getting more information on both of our amendments. Representative Lockhart?
Aye.
Representative
Lowe?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Representative
Witt? Excused? Aye. Senate Bill 601 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Lowe, you want to carry? It's yours. Close the work session.
Can I bring my visual aid?
We have Senator Yee with us. Let's go to Senate Bill 795. Again, this will be for consideration of Senator Yee's amendments only today. I'll open the work session on Senate Bill 795. And welcome back, Senator Yee.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 795, which I believe the committee has already heard, creates a schedule of progressive civil penalties for counties having dog control programs to use when dogs chase, kill, wound, or injure livestock. In addition to that program and schedule of penalties, the bill recognizes an animal shelter as a permissible non-farm use of property in an EFU zone, sunsetting January 1st, 2002. In part, for as Senator Yee, I'm sure, will remind you, to permit an animal shelter in her district to accept a charitable donation of property adjacent to their animal shelter so that they may actually be able to expand their no-kill shelter in Albany?
Just off the freeway.
Yes, off Highway 34.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Senator Yee, welcome back.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to offer an amendment to Section 14. This is Senate Bill 795-A9. Do you all have a copy?
Yes, and for the committee, what you have is, just if I may, Senator, we have the 8-8s, which are complete text of the statute being amended, mm-hmm. and then we have a one-page A9 amendment. It's page 7. Which, as I understand, is the only page that's different from the A8s. And so we have that rather than having been made a copy, recopying the entire text of the statute.
Yes.
Could you please clarify that again?
Representative Werloff.
It wasn't very...
We have the dash A8s amendment before us, and you have what is a single page, 7 of the A9s.
Okay.
And what's been represented to me, and I have not seen it, is that the A9s are identical to the A8s, except for...
Page 7,
that's right.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I offer the amendment to make it more restrictive after visiting some members of your committee. This will limit it to apply to nonprofit organizations, 501c3s, and also were limited to expansion or replacement of existing facilities. So it will be limited to only expansion or replacement of an existing facility and to nonprofit organization only. And I understand this will make it acceptable to your committee members. Now, the language is written with the help of our Land Conservation Department. Ron Ebert is here, and he has helped me prepare this language. And he said to me, Land Conservation and Development department supports this language.
Okay. Questions for Senator Lee? Representative Wells.
Any questions?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm still questioning this word replacement. As I understood, Senator Yee, we were talking about expansion of an existing facility, which would mean expanding that facility onto additional property right next to it. And I'm not too sure replacement would limit it to that, because you could have a replacement and move 10 miles and replace onto a new piece of land out in the country. So I had a little concern when I saw that word in there, because as we were discussing, I think we were trying to limit it to only an expansion, and whether even that is the correct word. But
Mr. Chairman, the reason we put in the word replacement is because the existing facility is getting very old. And with the expansion, they want to remodel the whole facility so it can be more functional at a larger capacity. But it's still the existing facility. It's not a new Humane Society. It's the existing Humane Society that wants to enlarge itself. And in the expansion, they want to make it a new replacement rather than the old facility that's falling apart.
Mr. Chair, I understand that, but the way I would read this language, any existing facility could be located within an urban growth boundary or whatever and move out and replace that facility onto EFU land, as I would understand this language.
Ron Ebert, do you want to come on up and give us your take on this? Mm-hmm.
Can I ask another question so I can address?
Sure. Representative Werbelon.
Thank you. I'm looking at existing ORS 215-283 that talks about uses permitted in farm use zones. And maybe I'm incorrect, but I don't see any uses as far as dog pounds or whatever what we're calling these, except there's one for greyhounds in 1J, in kennels, but it doesn't talk about animal shelters. So I'd like you to address that, too. That looks like that might be a new use in and of itself.
Mr. Eber?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Ron Eber, Rural Land Specialist for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Couple of issues. At the current time, as a conditional use in the exclusive farm use zone, you can have a dog kennel. It's not defined, so the counties will define it themselves. And that is subject to review at the county level against the standards in 215-296. This language, and you, a dog kennel is authorized on by a county on non-high-value farmland. But on high-value farmland, the Land Conservation and Development Commission has rules not allowing a new dog kennel, but an existing dog kennel may expand. The facility in Linn County in question here could be, the county has looked at it, it could be treated as a dog kennel, or it would qualify as an animal shelter. So this language would indicate if you have an animal shelter in the county that's already existing, might even be in a farm zone and therefore non-conforming, could expand or be replaced if it was a nonprofit under these terms. We put the language expansion or replacement. There was some concern that these are fairly common terms in zoning law. Someone could read expansion to mean that you had to expand the existing building as opposed to the use, and so we put in replacement as well as expansion to indicate if you have an existing use, you can either expand it or replace the structure with a new structure. Current law, for example, in the zone will allow an existing dwelling to be replaced or altered or modified, And so we thought with this language, that would cover it. The key, I think, is that it has to be an existing facility. Counties, in interpreting this kind of language, will limit expansions or replacements to something that's on the same lot or parcel or contiguous parcels that are owned by the applicant.
Does that answer your concerns, Representative Wells, or not?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I guess if that's what he says it does, I am not going to take issue with it. As I understand, this was supposed to be for a two-year period. We have this in the bill. Section 26 talks about amendments.
Yeah.
That limits, there's some language taken out in Section 14B, then that language then, let's see, that comes back in after January 1, 2000. Is that the way, because I thought this went for a two-year period.
That's right, it's repealed after 2 years.
So by putting that language, Mr. Chair, putting that language back in at the top of page 13 of the A and Gross, I'm looking at the right bill, am I? A and Gross. Then that takes out this amendment that would be, that's on the previous page, or on page 9. How does that nullify that amendment on page 9, or if we put this new language in, which would go in the same spot, how does that nullify that by putting that language back in on page 13?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, yes, Ron.
If I might, as I understand how this works, and it's one of the more unique constructions that I've seen, the language on page 7 adds to the EFU zone.
I'm sorry, you refer to page 7 now?
Of the dash 9.
Dash 9s, okay.
Adds this provision into the statute, and I believe that's section 14A. Then section 14B deletes it, which on the dash 9 amendments is on page 14.
You have the complete text of the dash 9 amendments.
That's correct, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
And
then back to the A and Gross bill, section 26 says the amendments to ORS 215-283 by section 14B of this act become operative January 1, 2002, which is an amendment to take the use back out.
Okay. No, he's referring to the dash 9 amendments. We don't have a complete text of it. I understand.
Oh,
14A creates this exemption or this permitted use.
Right.
That the precise terms of which we see on our page 7 of the dash 9 amendments.
That's correct.
Placed into 14A. 14B deletes that same language.
But not until.
That's correct.
Then through section 26 of the bill, 14B, the deletion of that language, becomes effective January 1, 2002. And as you say, that's an unusual way to do it, but that effectively then means that this bold language that is before us on page 7 of the dash 9 amendments is only in effect from the effective date of this bill until January 1, 2002, and then it goes away.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, it's made effective with a operative clause rather than with a sunset date.
Okay.
And it is a very different way of drafting that. We ran into this difficulty the last time we actually had the amendments drafted, but I think we understand what legislative counsel is purporting to.
I understand that.
At this point.
It's just not particularly clear. Representative Warlaw?
Yes, thank you. It seems to me in your testimony you were equating dog kennels, which are already a permissible use, with animal shelters. I don't equate the two, and if they are the same, then why do we have to have an entirely different section than the dog kennels would exist? If they are the same, I mean, all you could add where it says dog kennels not described, blah, blah, you could just add there, or expansion or replacement of the dog kennel. If they're the same. See, I don't think they are, and that's why I'm asking you. And if they're not the same, then we're expanding the use.
Mr. Chair, Representative Uberlau, I think that's correct. Dog kennels are, although they're undefined in the statute, are different and probably in narrower use than the animal shelters. And in this case, we have animal shelters here that are defined by a separate statute and are run by tax-exempt organizations, whereas a dog kennel could be a commercial operation that is run for private by a private party. So although I think in Linn County, their definition of dog kennel is broad and could possibly include animal shelters of this nature, it wasn't entirely clear, which therefore led to the development of this provision.
But I guess the point of these amendments, including the sections 14A and B in the bill, is in fact to expand permitted uses in farm zones to include these animal shelters where they may not be permitted under the rubric of dog kennels. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. It's not. They could be the same, but they are different, and therefore this does expand to some extent the allowable use.
Well, I'm looking for some glimmer of recognition or Representative Uberlau.
Well, are we in work
session? We're in work session, yeah.
I would just say that I'm not prepared to vote on the dash nines right now. We don't have the dash nines before us. We've even heard of this kind of anomaly that's there, and I think we ought to be looking at it before we vote on it. Plus, there's no size restriction here, and these shelters can be quite large, and it's just further encroachment on our farm land, and I'm not prepared to vote on it yet till I see the dash nines and think about this. And also like to have weigh in some land use people.
Well, we have DLCD here.
Well, no, I wasn't talking about that. I'm sorry. With all due respect.
They're sort of the land use guys.
The Farm Bureau, Thousand Friends, you know, the people that are weigh in on these things and are very important to them.
Well, let me ask. This is a more limited expansion than is in the bill as it came over to us. Did it have opposition from Farm Bureau, Thousand Friends, or anybody on the Senate side? Okay, we are actually limiting the expansion that the bill originally provided for by this.
I don't. Okay. We did.
The bill came.
It had to be a nonprofit. That's right.
We right.
Limited to that sense.
And I think this is. Yeah. I'm not going to. And actually, we also limited it by saying expansion or replacement, because otherwise, as the bill came over originally, it would have authorized the new placement or construction of a facility. So we've limited it in two ways as it came over to us, by limiting it to expansion or replacement and limiting it to 501c3 nonprofit entities. We have this thing set for Thursday. If the committee would rather deal with this all with the rest of the amendments on Thursday, that suits me.
Could I ask a question? I was taking notes, so I wasn't looking up. Ms. Tweet, did you say that no one from those communities, from those constituencies, objected?
Not in testimony, Mr. Chair, Representative Walker.
Were they there?
I believe.
Ms. Barrows, come on
my
up.
Memory, but I believe we had a full room that afternoon.
It might want to come in toward the end a lot of times, and especially when it's a part of a larger bill, when people don't even know it's there, because they're moving fast.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Dave Barrows, representing the veterinarians. My recollection is, and we are dealing with an older man here, so I need a little slack, if I may. That is, my recollection is that Mr. Test testified, representing the Farm Bureau, that they didn't have any objection to that provision, and that they supported the bill, the concept of the bill. They did participate some in the work group that put this bill together prior to Senator Yee's amendment. But my recollection is that he told me, and I think he testified maybe even to this committee, that he didn't have any problem with that particular amendment. I may be wrong about that. It may have been on the Senate side.
We didn't have PTSD here. Okay. But again, you were shaking your head, but confirming that what these amendments do is to actually narrow the exception that was provided in the original bill as it came to us out of the Senate.
The amendments that were, Mr. Chairman, the amendments that were put into the original bill that made it the A engrossed were broader than the amendments that Senator Yee has brought you today, in my judgment. These are narrower. This is a narrower field of fire with the dash nine amendments.
Well, okay. I'd frankly be ready to move this thing. So Pete Tess, the Farm Bureau, is there. DLCD is here today telling us it's okay with them. Representative Wells represents Thousand Friends of Oregon, and he's saying it's okay with me. So, you know, if we could at least get these out of the way, I would be most appreciative. Representative Werbel, you?
Well, we don't have them in front of us.
We do.
The dash nine.
Could I ask a question before you start moving this?
Is that portion that he talked about? I didn't find that in the eighth. Is that in the eighth?
One dash nine.
He was talking about. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, let's take a second while Representative Werbel looks at the dash nines. Well, I'd love it. As long as we're passing them out, sure.
I'd love a copy.
Could I ask a question while?
Yes, Representative Wells.
Thank you. It probably, I don't know who should answer this, whether Mr. Barrow should answer this or the people, the senator. But, as I look at page 7 of whatever the, wherever they came from, at line 21, expansion or replacement, I may have been a little slow on the uptake, maybe I was sketching, I don't know. But is there anything in that language that would permit a nonprofit to find some farmland down the road, an existing seller, and locate new in the middle of farmland? Or does it have to pre-exist? It has to have a pre-existing facility on the farmland. That's my big concern. I don't want new farmland to be encroached upon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, the language was to make it clear that it was expansion or replacement of an existing facility. Because this is going into a farm zone, the implication and the context of the statute is that the use also has to exist in the farm zone. In where this language is used in similar situations, counties, because I've had discussions with them, will not allow somebody on a far distant parcel or in another zone.
So it can't be non-contiguous expansion, is what you're telling me. Okay. Thank you. Just wanted that assurance.
For existing facilities only.
Well, sure. But like locating a parking lot across the road, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to work.
Well, there would have to be some connection between the parcel or the ownership or access that had you expanding or replacing.
So this will not be non-contiguous expansion.
Yeah.
It will be contiguous expansion.
It would be contiguous through the connection.
Thank you.
Why don't we call somebody from the legislative?
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, I can tell you why, but I don't know.
I'm just saying they're not the same.
Right.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Wells.
I'm still looking at this Section 26 amendments. Section 14 become operative. So what that really is saying then, so now we have a little different language on page 7. Let's see, which one are we looking at? Let's look at the complete one here.
Where are you going next?
Well, I'm trying to figure which version I'm looking at here. Well, Mr. Chair, the dash nines have different language than the dash eights do.
In which provision?
The dash nines, we're talking about, the language is taken out.
Oh.
On page 7 of the dash eights, there's some language taken out.
Right.
Now we have on page 14 of the nines, we have some language taken out. And I would understand that that then is what it's referred to in section 26 as those amendments become operative. But the dash eights do not have the same language as the dash nines do.
Tell you what,
am I
understand. No, I think you're not.
This is what's confused me. I've been sitting here, and I just can't figure out what, because this language that's in the dash eights doesn't, there's a lot of extra language there.
Mr. Chairman, could I clear up one thing?
Mr. Barrows.
I believe under this scheme, the proposal, excuse me, the proposal that Senator Yee is bringing you, the dash eights can be placed in a disposal facility. And they're not operative anymore. The dash nines are in lieu of the dash eights,
right,
and in lieu of the language in the A and Gross Bill.
Right. So we don't read them together.
You don't read them together.
Right.
You can't read them together. Representative Wells is absolutely correct. They don't fit together.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's helped me because
I
have not been able to follow this bill in seeing where this is a limit.
Yeah.
So now, Mr. Chair, what we have is...
The A9s are complete unto themselves.
We have the language... We have the same language on page 7 of the dash 9.
That's right.
On page 14.
That's right. And 14 is the... Is the repeal that takes effect on January 1 of 2002.
That clears up a lot, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, are we ready on this one then? I think we...
We need to adopt both.
No, we only need the nines, yeah.
Okay.
I'd just as soon do it. I don't think it'll be any clearer on Thursday.
I move...
Okay, Representative Wu, thank you.
I move the nines into... Senate Bill 795.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Lowe moves the dash A9 amendments into Senate Bill 795. I almost hesitate to ask, but is there discussion?
No.
Okay. Is there any objection?
No.
Hearing none, so ordered, and I think we've probably gone as far as we wanted to go on this bill today anyway. So we will close the, thank you very much, the public hearing on this for today. We will take this bill back up for final action on Thursday.
Well, let's just go for broke.
Yeah, we're on a roll. Huh? Okay, let's finish with the work session on Senate Bill 401. I'll open that, Council.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 401A modifies laws that relate to judicial review of contested case orders issued by state agencies, and it specifies that agencies would not be required to explain how an order is supported by facts and evidence and record if the agency is not already under current law required to make findings of fact and conclusions of law. Brought to you after the Court of Appeals actually issued a ruling putting that under some, or I don't want to say confusing it because they don't confuse anything, but shedding some, I'm not sure how to say it without helping me. Let's just say I brought to you after the Supreme Court actually ruled that the agencies would be required to explain how orders are supported by facts and evidence in the record. Now, as originally drafted, it would apply to all agencies. I understand that Christine Shute is here to talk to you about the A4 amendment, which would limit this to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision.
Okay, Ms. Shute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Christine Shute from the Oregon Department of Justice. This bill has been here before, and I've talked to most of you about it at one time or another. There was some disagreement between the Department of Justice and the Judicial Department about the wisdom of the original proposal that amended the Administrative Procedures Act. Our primary concern was with the Board of Parole orders due to their very, very large volume. And my boss, the Attorney General, sat down with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and Justice W. Michael Gillette and worked out some alternative language, and through the good auspices of legislative council, massaged that and have come up with this, but I believe it's fair to say everybody is satisfied with this now. Although now it only applies to the parole board, not to the other, not to the PSRB or anyone else that would have been covered by the first bill.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your indulgence in working these out. Representative Williams, you are primed.
Mr. Chairman.
Pumped. You're ready to go.
I would move the adoption of the Dash 8-4 amendments to Senate Bill 401.
Representative Williams moves the adoption of the Dash 8-4 amendments to Senate Bill 401. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
I was going to invite Janice Krim to come up and say that she likes them, but she's probably just happy to go ahead and let us do this. So go ahead, Representative Williams.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate Bill 401 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 401 as amended by the committee action to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Please call the roll.
Did you have the amendments to the bill?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
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 Excuse me. Votes aye, and I'll carry this one since this bill was my fault largely. yes. Penance for that, I will carry it. And with that, I think we are adjourned.